Bring the meeting to order, please. Can I get a roll call?
Kurt Alstead.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio.
Yes.
Tim Daugherty.
Yes.
Michael Dressler.
Yes.
Michael Francis.
Yes.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Paul Richko.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sevetich.
Here.
Michael Tiefenk.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Please read the open public meeting statement.
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice at the time and location of this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Thank you. Can you please all rise and join the pledge of meetings?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We just do our first course of action, approval of Highlands Council minutes, January 19th. Can I get a motion, please? We have a motion.
Second.
We have a second by Carl. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefenk.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton. Chairman Rowe.
Yes. Takes us to the chair's report. Actually, I have only one minor course of business, and it's really just renaming the RMP update committee to what its role is now, as it's reaching the end of that, and to RMP amendment committee. So again, just continuing the work of the suggestions that come from staff, this body, and the public. Pretty much an area for things to be vetted. Margaret, Executive Director's report.
Yes, I have a couple of brief items. For plan conformance implementation, the Highlands referral ordinance was adopted by the municipality of Clinton Town on December 13th, and Hackettstown adopted their exemption determination authorization in December also. And in terms of the staffing front, we have made an offer to our new GIS specialist, and we expect him to come on board the end of this month, which is about the same time our other GIS specialist is going to go out on maternity leave. So we figure maybe in about 2 months we will have a full continuum yet again. So, but it's happy news that there will be another small addition to our family. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Ms. Horsham. Now brings us to the Regional Master Plan Update Committee.
Yes.
Mr. Alstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our committee met just a couple weeks ago. There's a number of items that we wanted to update the council on. Number one, at the last council meeting, we heard a number of comments regarding the length of the public comment period. The intent was always to have a minimum of 30 days. We reviewed that, and what we wanted to make clear is that we recommend that there be indeed a minimum of 30 days. However, the council will have the option to extend that comment period up to 60 days. And further, that we certainly recommend that the lengthy MPRR document have a comment period of a defined 60 days. So just to be clear that the intent is not to restrict comment period. Another item that we discussed is the submission of proposed amendments to the committee, which will then get forwarded to the council. There's a requirement, I'll call it, that as much information as possible be submitted with proposed amendments. Again, the desire is not to create an environment where a proposed amendment can't be brought forward to the committee because there's not enough technical information connected to the amendment. Rather, we want to get as much information forwarded to the staff so that they can more fully consider it and vet it before it comes to the committee. An example would be if somebody suggested that vernal pools should have a 2,000-foot radius of protection as opposed to the current 1,000. It wouldn't be sufficient to just suggest that there be an additional 2,000. There should be some rationale or some type of documentation submitted with it as to why that extra level of protection is warranted. Likewise, if someone were to suggest that the act should be scrapped because it sucks, we would not accept that as being valid reasons to further consider that proposal.
Sure.
For those of you who are thinking about that.
I'm sorry.
Suggested that the act sucks.
I see.
It should be abolished, based just on that alone. So at any rate, you get what we're working towards. I think the bottom line is the staff is available, and we want to certainly make this an open and inclusive process. So if you have ideas, we want to hear them, submit them to the staff, talk to them, and certainly help us field information if it's something we don't have.
And all members here will be getting a call from Margaret soon to go over that process, just so every council member has an understanding. Not that it's just us, it'll be the public involved as well.
Yeah. And absolutely, this is the time, if you are thinking about anything at all that you feel should be included, amended, changed, altered, deleted, added, whatever the case, now's the time to talk to Margaret and the staff, council members. So if, anything that you have, this is the moment in time to act on it. And then finally, there's been a lot of comments received regarding the location of the public hearings. And what we would tell you is that we are certainly taking into consideration the need and the desire to have public hearings held in different locales, and we will be reporting back on that. No final decisions have been made. Margaret, have I missed anything?
No, I think you got it quite right.
All right, very good.
So, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Were there any other committee or council member reports? Seeing none, we'll move on. Takes us to other business. Consideration of resolution. Proposed Highlands Development Designation Area, Borough of Bloomsbury, Huntington County. This is a voting matter. Public comment. Can I get a motion on this?
I'll make a motion to advance it.
Or to introduce.
Introduce this resolution.
Second. A motion and second. Ms. Marshall, do you want to?
Yes, I just wanted to clarify for the benefit of the public that this is really an application to determine the suitability of the site as a redevelopment area. It's not an actual site plan review. That will occur later on in the process with the municipality, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. And with that, I will turn it over to James to go through the application.
All right, thank you. So the project is located in Bloomsbury Borough, Huntington County, on block 32, lot 1.01. Bloomsbury is 100% preservation area town. The site is currently developed with the Citgo gas station and fuel deli and convenience store. And the proposal is to add a 3,000 square foot drive-in restaurant with associated parking to the site. The area of the proposed expansion is currently developed as a part of a larger cornfield. It should also be noted that the site, when it was originally approved back in 1997, included not only the Citgo gas station but also the fast food restaurant. However, the approval for the fast food restaurant has subsequently expired. This is the site plan. On the site plan, you can see on the left-hand side is the existing Citgo gas station. On the right-hand side is the proposed fast food restaurant expansion. If you look up here in the small gray area, you can see it basically a key map that shows across the street is the pilot truck stop, and to the north there is Interstate 78. Here's an aerial view of the existing site. There's the Citgo gas station with the canopy covering the gas pumps. And the dotted area is the area proposed for the expansion. You can see that this area is largely developed with impervious surface as well as the associated areas. This is the pilot truck stop. And if you follow the 173 to the northeast, you would come into Interstate 78. This is a picture of the Citgo gas station. This is a picture looking towards Route 173 with the Citgo gas station on your left and the area to be developed forward to the right. And this is the frontage of the area to be developed along Route 173 looking towards Interstate 78 with the pilot truck stop to your left. So the site qualification for Highlands Redevelopment Area designation is a minimum of 70 existing 70% impervious surface. So the existing impervious surface is approximately 58,000 square feet. The allowable redevelopment area under the 70% standard would be 84,000 square feet, and the applicant is proposing just under 84,000 square feet. So according to the impervious surface requirement, it qualifies. Staff prepared a review and recommendations report, which was posted to the Highlands Council website for public comment from January 26th to February 10th. Received comments from three individuals. As seen here, the comment response document was provided to the Highlands Council staff members and also posted to the Highlands Council website on the 13th. A resource analysis of the property indicates it's located in a carbonate rock area. We're recommending a phased geotechnical investigation that will be approved by the municipal engineer be required. It should be noted, as Margaret previously said, that the redevelopment area designation is a designation of the redevelopment area itself. The council will also be involved in the review of the Highlands Preservation Area approval application to DEP. And then subsequently, because the town has a municipal referral ordinance, the project will again come back for Highlands Council review once the application is submitted to the local planning board. It's also located in a Tier 1 wellhead protection area. The construction of a restaurant proposes no significant potential to result in a discharge of pathogens to groundwater or land surface. It's also located in a prime groundwater recharge area. The proposed project encroaches into the mapped prime groundwater recharge area. Through the redevelopment area designation, the Highlands Act allows the council to grant waivers on a case-by-case basis. In this case, groundwater recharge will be done on-site, or if due to the carbonate rock area, it cannot be done on-site. Other on-site mitigation will be proposed in the undeveloped areas of the property. The proposed project will not cause or contribute to significant degradation of groundwater. Regarding the smart growth and sustainable economic development goals of the RMP, the project incorporates low-impact development techniques. It promotes economic investment and community development, maintains the existing land use patterns, and balances both the economic development and resource protection standards of the RMP. The staff recommendation is to approve with conditions. The first condition would be a phased geotechnical investigation that would be prepared as part of the HPA application and would subsequently be reviewed by the Highlands Council staff when it's submitted for the referral ordinance and also be submitted to the town for review by the municipal engineer. Again, to note that there are three review phases in this project. There's the redevelopment area designation, the HPAA review, the Highlands referral ordinance review, and then, on top of that, the local planning board review. The Highlands redevelopment area designation is proposed to be with a waiver for the mitigation of the prime groundwater recharge area provisions of the RMP. The applicant has committed to ensure on-site and enhanced groundwater recharge. They'll comply with the DEP stormwater regulations. The redevelopment area would also be with a waiver, recommended for a waiver from the DOPT for excess of the 3% impervious surface standard of the preservation area. A conservation restriction would be placed on the remainder of the undeveloped property. And again, this project will come back to the Highlands Council staff for review under the municipal referral ordinance. So that's a summary of the application. If you have any questions of staff or for the applicant, the applicant's attorney and engineer are here as well.
Any questions of staff on this?
Yes. Looking at that one slide, it says resource analysis, Tier 1 wellhead protection area. There are two no significant potential to result in discharge of pathogens and not cause a significant degradation of groundwater. Who determines what's significant? And is this scientifically scientific analysis or just an engineering term that you say it's no significant? Because we've heard a lot of time from engineers, there's no significant degradation or damage.
There's a list of potential uses of properties that present a significant potential to discharge, for example, gas stations or chemical storage or things like that. So identified by industrial use category codes. And this, as a fast food restaurant, does not fall into any of those uses that present a significant potential for discharge.
I don't know what that means, but that's your answer.
Any other council comments?
Just go back to the overview of the picture, this picture here. Okay, so there's a conservation restriction on the remainder of undeveloped property. Is this property, is just the red property, what's in the red, or
no.
Is there other property that would be restricted?
The black outline is the property line.
Oh, the black?
Right.
Okay.
That's so, the parcel boundary. The red is the redevelopment.
Couldn't see it on here. All right. And so the rest of that property would be deed restricted for conservation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Council. Yes, ma'am.
So under the carbonate rock and the geotechnical analysis that would be done, when would this be done? Would it be done prior to applying to DEP for a Highlands Preservation Area approval with a redevelopment waiver, or just what would be the timing on this geotechnical analysis?
Yes, as part of the HPA process, at that time the applicant would develop detailed engineering drawings, including a proposal for geotechnical investigation. So they would prepare that scope of work study for our approval and then conduct that investigation.
Thank you.
If I could just walk through this quickly. So this was previously approved, time ran out, so it doesn't qualify for the exemption for a pre-approved plan prior to the enactment of the act, right?
Right.
So then they do qualify for redevelopment, and redevelopment's available to anybody provided that they comply with the provisions that are included in the act, which is they can 70% of the existing impervious coverage. Is that correct?
Correct.
So what would be the grounds that one could vote against this?
Well, the council has redevelopment area guidelines that stress that you have to make sure that the site only isn't just 70%, but that it's suitable and can support the development in question.
And the 70% impervious surface requirement is, if you look at, you're suggesting that that's 70% impervious right now?
The red area is 70% impervious.
Of the total, right?
Yes.
So there's no so to seek redevelopment, you don't have to start with 70%, but you can only max out at 70%.
The redevelopment area itself has to be a minimum of 70% impervious surface. The redevelopment area doesn't look at the lot, it looks at the area you designate. So in this case, the red outline is the redevelopment area, and 70% of that red outline is existing impervious surface. They can then expand beyond that to fill out the redevelopment area, which is what's proposed.
Which is the additional 30%.
Right. And that's the purpose of the redevelopment area, so you can expand
right
in existing developed areas.
I had one other question.
Please.
Were you done, Kurt?
Yes.
There's quite a bit of discussion in here about the groundwater recharge area and the fact that they looked at the NRCS soils maps. Did they do any perk tests? I know those soils maps are good guidance, but they're not exact. And, you know, my experience with my Board of Health is, you know, you can have soils change 15 feet from where you do a test. So, were there any, I didn't see evidence of perk tests. So is there any more actually on-site information about that?
Wouldn't that be part of the application to the municipality?
They haven't actually prepared the application to the municipality yet, but it would be. But the applicant's engineer and attorney's here to answer specific questions on anything like that, if you would wish.
So were there perk tests done? That's my question.
No, unless you want to add anything, applicant, engineer.
If it hasn't been done, but it's not a requirement.
Correct.
Is there public sewer there?
No, there's an existing septic system that they're supposed to use.
That was going to be my next question about the septic system. I know you're probably going to say it's part of the application, but did you get any information about the size of the septic system and the functioning of the existing septic system? You know, anything about it, and does it match the 1750 gallon per day water usage, or anything you can tell us about that?
again, you're right, that would be part of the application to DEP and then part of our review of the municipal application under the referral ordinance.
But at this point, we don't even know whether or not there are soils on site that could handle and properly process the sewage flow from this additional facility, because we don't have any information about the septic system. So we don't really know what the carrying capacity is of the
system. Which would prevent it from moving forward once it got to the municipality.
Well, I'm just saying it's insufficient information to move ahead with, because we don't know. We are supposed to vote based on whether or not this proposed redevelopment area comports with the RMP, but we don't have the information. If we don't know whether or not really the pond groundwater recharge area could be protected adequately, because we don't have the geotechnical analysis yet, whether or not the soils and the septic system and the water could be provided on site, because we don't have that information. And I know that these are sort of devil in the details, but it is the kind of data that we use in order to make decisions. And, you know, in developing the RMP, it's very important that these redevelopment areas be carefully placed.
But those are items that are not being, that are not being ignored. It's the chicken and the egg. It's starting the process, and this is the beginning of the process for them to move forward to both the DEP and the municipality, at which point in time those items would take place. And if they didn't comply with DEP rules, the township, it wouldn't continue to move on.
I hear you. It's just that, you know, making a decision about whether or not the prime groundwater recharge area waiver should be granted by this council or not really requires more than an NRCS soil map.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We sort of have this progressive procedure where I think right now, at least my impression is we're acting, right now we're just required to base a decision on planning, whether it's appropriate to grant the redevelopment for this site from a planning perspective. Then that triggers then the next level of approvals, which is the satisfying the environmental constraints. And that's when they've got to go to DEP and then come back to us. And I think it was set up that way so that somebody didn't have the onerous task of doing everything up front, that if there was a planning reason why this didn't make sense, they would be told no and be spared all the expense of doing all the environmental work just to end up at a no because we think it's an inappropriate use on Route 173. So I think today we're charged with, is this an appropriate planning approval? And then the next we go dig into the environmental.
Respectfully, that's a lot of semantics to me.
Any other council comments before I open to the public? Anybody in the public wish to be heard on this application only? Reminder to keep your comments to 3 minutes or less, please. Please raise your hand. Yes.
George Stafford, Wharton in the Highlands, Highlands Coalition. Just from, you're doing a redoing the master plan, just from a public relations standpoint, which is something I know something about, you're taking working farmland in the Highlands where we could be doing all the new, you know, farm-to-table stuff and all the new, you know, the arugula and the kale and all the stuff that I don't eat but my hamburgers and buffalo wings. And you're going to take working farmland and you're going to put a fast food restaurant on it. So just a consideration both for the community and for the board. From a public relations standpoint, you have this beautiful shot down I-73 there, 173 there, and you have this beautiful bucolic countryside scene, and you're going to put, you know, McDonald's, Burger King, Jack in the Box, just from that standpoint, on going forward with, and as a precedent for how we're going to go forward in the Highlands and what we're looking for, I think that sends a kind of a, it doesn't send a mixed message, it's bizarre, just from my standpoint. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this application only? Please raise your hand. Say done. Yes, ma'am.
Norma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I did provide comments, and perhaps you all have already read them. But I do think that the fact that there really is no data about the karst. Therefore, there is no real knowledge of how, and there's no knowledge of whether the existing septic system is about to fail, which, I mean, they do usually, eventually, at some point. And there's really no knowledge about this site at all. That I do think that this karst analysis should be done, because this would affect every other, once you say, oh yes, this is a redevelopment site, then the applicant is going to go and say, well, it's a redevelopment site, DEP, now you've got to let me do thus and thus and thus. And I do think that you need that study, and it should just, you should postpone this decision, table it without prejudice, get the karst study done, which would provide a more firm basis on which to make some suppositions about the ways in which the project might go. Right now, it seems to me, the consistency determination is mostly based on the developer agrees they're going to do this. The developer agrees that they're going to do that. And they agree that they're going to do this. And it's all based on the developer saying they're going to do certain things. But you have no knowledge of what will actually happen. So that's like, just say, go away and come back after you have the first study. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue only? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Chairman and Council Members, nice to see you again. Julie Hirsch, Marcher, and Greiner, I represent the applicant on this petition. Just a few comments I wanted to point out. I don't think it came out in the discussion. This property is located in an existing community zone, which extends from all of the developed area of Bloomsbury, the residential development, through to a bank site, then to this property. I heard somebody mention bucolic. It's not a word I usually hear associated with a gas station on the highway, but if you look at the site in the context of what's around it, it clearly is properly designated as an existing community. I'm not sure why it's in the preservation area, but nonetheless it is. The zoning for the property, what's proposed here is consistent with it, and I think what Vice Chair Alstead said is correct. It's pretty much a three-step process, and the first step here is just the planning. Does it meet the 70% requirement? Does it meet certain basic requirements? And then when we get to DEP on the HPAA application, a lot of engineering and design will have to be done at that level. And then the third step, going to Bloomsbury Planning Board, even more detail will be required at that point. So obviously this designation means nothing more than giving us the opportunity to go to DEP and get waivers of some of the DEP regulatory standards in return for meeting a lot of different criteria. So we do understand this is, it has limited effect on the ability to develop the property. Obviously the bulldozer will go out tomorrow, but I have to also, I wanted to thank the staff for moving this application to where it is and helping us refine it and make it better. And thank you.
Thank you. So, anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes.
Elliot Rubin, New Jersey Highlands Coalition, and I'd like to make a suggestion. Whenever a geotechnical investigation is done at the order of the Highlands Council. As you know, the Highlands has very large areas underlaid by carbonate rock, and we really don't have an understanding of what goes on underneath the surface. When an investigation is done, that information is, if it's filed away with an application somewhere, that's fine. But it could be very useful, cumulatively, to have an understanding of what goes on in these carbonate rock areas, that information be compiled somewhere so we have that for future reference, maybe added to a mapping a GIS set, because we'd really like to know how the water flows underneath the surface in these areas. That could be very valuable information. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon. Monique Purcell, Department of Agriculture. Just wanted to clarify, the property is not a working farm. The land area just happens to be leased to a farmer currently, but obviously the applicant owns the land, has an existing business, is looking to expand his business into that area that is currently being farmed, but it's not like it's disrupting an active farm. Just a clarification.
Thank you. Would anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this application only? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Oh, sorry. Everybody waits till I say I'm done.
Everybody wants to be last.
Yeah.
Robert Fry, Warren County, just across the river. Does Bloomsbury have a septic or a sewer plant?
This property does not. I don't know if they do.
I didn't ask that. Does Bloomsbury
have a wastewater management plan? I do not believe Bloomsbury's wastewater management plan has been approved yet. No.
They do or they don't have
a sewer plant? They do not. They do not.
Okay.
Thank you. Would anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue? Seeing none for real this time. Thank you. Any final council comments?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, get the judge first.
I'm not happy with the, as Tracy pointed out, the amount of information we've got so far. Wasn't happy with the answer that Mike got with regard to the reasons why it qualifies or doesn't qualify. But that could have been stretched out a little bit and gotten a little more information on that. I want more information on this application, and I'm going to be voting no on it.
Thank you, Mr. Vizioli.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the representative that spoke before, she mentioned the word several times of waivers. What kind of waivers are we talking about?
Well, let's see if before we start engaging in questioning there, maybe Ms. Ross has these.
Okay. Sure. The one slide is, lists the different waivers for the preservationary rules. There's the exceeding the 3% impervious surface. For the Highlands Council, it's not a DEP rule, preservationary rule. The RMP, our Regional Master Plan, has provisions about encroaching into prime ground recharge areas. So this council would have to waive that provision.
And how would we waive it? In other words, this would come back unless we have to vote on it?
Hold on.
So, go ahead, Doctor. Okay. Would we have to re-vote on this again?
On the waiver, for the HPAA waiver, that's just a recommendation to the DEP, and the DEP would actually approve the waiver. For the prime groundwater recharge area, you'd be granting a waiver so that when we review, when under the executive director's authority, we review the site plan, we can fall back on that waiver to grant a consistency determination consistent with your approval.
So if we approve it, we're finished?
As a council, you are. As a council, as in this body, you are. But it will come back to council staff and the executive director under her authority for review.
Yeah, and the DEP.
And the DEP. And the
municipality. Yes.
Yes. I would like to propose that this is a very good site for restoration and enhancement, and through revegetation. There is some discussion here about the other areas on the property being revegetated because it's unknown if it doesn't drop, you know, how it would react to infiltration. So I would like to propose that we consider this and not vote on this today, because the revegetation would allow for the protection of the carbonate rock. It would avoid development in a current water deficit area that, by definition, cannot sustain even the current water use. It would protect the prime groundwater recharge area through natural vegetation, and it would protect Tier 1 wellhead protection area and from the potential pollution that you get from a gas station and a lot of traffic for a convenience store. And this is especially true since the carbonate rock presence makes it unknown whether or not they're going to be able to really handle the stormwater on this property. So, looking at what our charge is in the RMP, having to do with deciding redevelopment and area designations with in the preservation area, I would like to say that by allowing this designation, we allow the applicant to get a redevelopment waiver. That's what we're voting on here, from the rules that protect Highlands waters. The goals of the RNP are not just to redevelop and develop, but to protect, restore, and enhance. Those are the words that are we are given as a charge in the area in the RNP that discusses redevelopment. So we're supposed to be protecting, restoring, and enhancing the quality of the surface and groundwaters among protections of other resources of the Highlands, like our forests, our wetlands, our riparian areas, all the critical habitats that we've built into the RNP. To me, the question is this use compatible with the protection of the preservation area? And my answer is no. I don't have the information that proves that to me. So I cannot vote for this application.
Any other comments?
I just wanted to, if I may. So I went to the regional master plan because it's been a while since we've dealt with redevelopment, so I wanted to read it for myself, and perhaps, Mike, this might address a couple of the questions you have. So Chapter 4, Part 6, Subpart D is redevelopment. And it's interesting that it speaks to this first step truly as a planning decision. Redevelopment is a planning tool that converts underutilized areas through structure replacement, infill, and adaptive reuse approaches. Redevelopment will help to meet the region's growth needs by optimizing the efficient use of previously settled areas with existing communities and available infrastructure. And my understanding that this is located in an environmental conservation zone, right?
Existing
community zone. Thank you. I get mixed up with the acronyms sometimes. And so in the preservation area, which I understand this is in the preservation area, Bloomsbury is conforming, right?
Yes.
Right, so Bloomsbury is conforming. It's the preservation area. Highlands redevelopment areas are limited to redevelopment sites and brownfield sites as designated by the Highlands Council, which are then eligible for waivers from the NJDEP. From what I'm reading, all we're doing today from a planning standpoint, which is exactly what the master plan tells us we're supposed to do, is identify, are we in a conforming town? Yes. Is this a preservation area? Yes. Is it in an existing community zone? Yes. And what do we say in goal, if you go to goal 6J, we're charged with accommodation of regional growth and development needs through reuse and redevelopment of previously developed areas. And while I concede that if you look at the cornfield in the absence of Route 173 and the gas station, you might say, well, gosh, that's a cornfield, it's agriculture, but I don't think you can look at the cornfield in the absence of it being on the state highway with gas stations on all the sides of it. Further, in policy 6J2, to encourage redevelopment in the ECZ, and then you go further on to goal 6L, conforming municipalities and counties consider development, redevelopment in their master plans. Very consistently, what they're asking us to do today appears to me to be supported by the master plan.
Correct.
And that's why I'm going to vote yes.
With regard to it, this is our one bite at the apple. It doesn't come back to this council. Okay, if it came back to the council later on, then I would have less problem with it. One thing I've learned on my time with this council is I have absolutely no confidence in what the DEP will do. None whatsoever. And given that fact, you know, I'm not about to give up my bite at the apple determinant on what the DEP is going to do.
And I can appreciate that. And if I could find something in here that said we're supposed to do something more than consider its planning worthiness and then allowing it to proceed to the DEP for the eligibility of a possible waiver, I might be able to support your position. But I'm reading this, and I can't find anything that says we will measure this applicant against these standards. Bang, 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 bang. It's strictly planning.
Right.
At this point in the process, we're strictly to adhere to planning principles, not environmental.
Mr. Chairman, you're leaving out one very important sentence there. Redevelopment is a strategy to achieve sustainable development. Sustainable. And
yes.
What we're deciding is whether or not this is sustainable development to the point where this is inconsistent with the RNP, and it's noted so in this evaluation by staff. And we're giving a waiver of those inconsistencies. So I think it's pretty clear here. This
plan is not consistent. This area is not consistent with the RMP. Let's remember our overarching goal: protect, restore, and enhance the quality and quantity of surface and groundwaters. That's set out in the Act as the goals of the RMP, and that's our overarching charge.
Any other comments?
No, I'd like to call a question.
I was going to say the same thing. So, get a roll call, please.
Councilmember Walston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
No.
Councilmember Daugherty.
No.
Councilmember Dressler.
No.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holdaway.
Hi.
Councilmember James.
No.
Councilmember Richka.
No.
Councilmember Sevetich.
No.
Councilmember Tefank.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
No.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember, I'm sorry, Chairman Riley.
Yes.
Did not pick.
Six.
So how, since this has never happened before, what exactly can we tell the applicant that, how do we, what's the basis for the denial, and how do we instruct the applicant to come back? What are our legal grounds?
If we're going to discuss legal, point of order, if we're going to discuss legal matters, then we're going to go into closed session. But I'm not going to have anybody grandstand here. And I'm not saying you're doing that, Kurt. But if you have those questions, that's proper to go ask the attorney, but it's improper unless we're going to debate this legality, then we're going to go into closed session.
Let me work with staff to formulate a response to that. That item's filled. Takes us to our last order of business, public comments on any items. Anybody in the public wish to be heard on any item, please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
George Stack again, Highlands Coalition. This might answer another question, is just what does this guy do besides being a man of leisure? I go around to governing bodies and request that they consider resolutions, and I have one. There was some discussion at the last meeting about the state's water supply plan. We have been, along with ANJAC, asking municipalities, freeholder boards, and environmental commissions to consider a resolution that would ask the governor and the DEP to release the water plan that exists. And the history of that is, in 1996, it was decided by the state legislature that we would have a water plan review every 5 years, and they did it in 1996, and then nothing ever happened. There are numbers that were done in 2011 that haven't been released. The story is that DEP has been tweaking the numbers and disagrees with this or that, but the point is we're working with numbers from 1996, and there are a number of things that we know are different in the state of New Jersey. Now, I forgot my prop. I usually carry my cell phone from 1996 and flip it open and say, this is the kind of data we're working with. I left it home, so I apologize for that.
We can wait.
I'm sorry?
We can wait.
No, that's well, I don't think I can get the warden back in a minute and a half. Anyway, we have a million more people in the state of New Jersey than we had in 1996. We get a little bit more rain, and we've lost almost 250,000 acres of open space since 1996. Now, think about that. That's going to end up, you know, total, and I'm not saying it's the same thing, but total, that's about half of the preservation area in the Highlands over the course of the whole state that we've lost. And one of the things that we found out with the drought that we're having is that we really depend on groundwater, and open space is necessary for groundwater. So we need to know where we are. We need to know what those numbers are. You're currently doing a master plan, and you may have access to more data than the rest of us do. But we would like the governor's office, and we would like DEP. So I've to release the numbers that we have, and we encourage them to come up with new numbers as soon as possible. So I have that resolution that's been passed out to you. There's a little bit of poetry and fluff in there, but basically it just boils down to getting the numbers out that we already have, but the study's already been paid for. So let's know where we were in 2011, and let's find out where we are in 2017-18 as quickly as possible. So I hope that you would consider that at a future meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue, please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Couple things. My name is David Schoaf. I have a farm in Lebanon Township. As it's all about water, I'm sure you will support the Trenton Country Club's application for withdrawal of water from the Raritan Basin system so they can water their greens. I'll keep it. It's on the internet. You can find it if you want. Also, the New Jersey Water Supply Authority is undergoing its current rate review, where the water, what they call the Source Water Protection Fund, is $24 per million gallons, as it has been for some time now, quite a few years. They're not raising it. They are raising the contribution to the New Jersey Environmental Infrastructure Trust program from $25 a million gallons to $85 a million gallons, so they can help to finance repairing the rotten pipes that exist all over the state. So we who have sacrificed the value of our land so the Water Supply Authority can collect water from our land, we'll be paying indirectly for the repair of water pipes all over the state. And I noted that your recent requirement for submitting a rational basis for proposed master plan amendments really should apply to the current master plan as well. I have not seen the rational basis that the New North Jersey District Water Supply Authority has started this thing off with a $30 billion a year saving in water treatment costs, which everybody has accepted, and nobody can lay their hands on the report. Start with that one. And after you're done with that, you can explain to everybody why this council tossed the forestry report done by foresters and replaced it with some piece of crap that you've accepted without question. Explain why the 1,000-foot buffer on vernal pools exists at all. Who determined that 1,000 feet was the appropriate protection for vernal pools? Who determined that 3% impervious coverage for agricultural development was the right number for all agricultural development? Why 3%? You just accept this garbage and have over years and years and years, requiring no proof whatsoever, you just accept it. Now you're requiring people who submit comments to your master plan to submit a rational basis for the comments. Practice what you preach.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand.
Could I just comment if there's no one else?
Hang on, we got somebody.
Hi, my name's Hank Klump. I'm a farmer in Tewksbury in the preservation area. I went to township meeting the other night, and township is very upset, number one, so am I, because I believe the town was lied to on the affordable housing. This is going back when Ellen Swan was going around and trying to get everybody to actually Tom Borden, Ellen Swan, the director here, were going around telling the towns that don't worry about affordable housing. And if you sign the town in, for an example, which I brought out, and it's a matter of public on the minutes, is I asked the question, is how can two state agencies have two different numbers for the quote on these houses? and then I was given an example as 50 was for affordable housing. And if you signed the town in to the Highlands, it was zero. So, you know what our town did? They signed themselves in. Now, the other thing that came up also, which they brought up, was a shield. So if you had any problems with whatever you were talking about your affordable housing, you'd have a shield, which is your lawyers, to cover any problems. Well, you know, I don't know whether the town was lied to, or maybe that's not the right, not trustworthy words were used to propagate this thing. I want to know what recourse our town has, or even myself, because I live there. And to come back, I mean, this is the Highlands Council, it's still in existence, and the pre-Swan, the director, came to the town, and it was a public meeting. So, I don't know, do we have a recourse on that, or...
You have a record of something, feel free to have it brought to us, but yeah, I think many people were misled for quite a while.
But there's no recourse, you can't go back.
Yeah, you gotta show us a document that says that something was promised that
okay.
That wasn't, I doubt you'll find that.
Okay, all right, okay. Thanks very much, I appreciate that.
Thank you. Is anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Motion to adjourn, please.
Wait. Can I just comment on what George said? I've been bringing this up about the water master plan update, and I've asked this council to please support me in having a resolution that we would send to the governor, the DEP, and maybe to the Pinelands Commission, because they're in the same business as we are, water protection. I think this is something that we should have as a council. This information. Dan Van Apps, who I brought up before, he was recently interviewed, and he says he's just given up that this won't probably be released until we have a new governor. It's very frustrating after he worked on revisions that were put into this master plan and just not releasing it. And I wish somebody would tell me why. And it's not just this governor, but governors before that, too. It's showing something that they don't want to release. So can we have a resolution that we can discuss next time? I can work with Margaret on it. We have a sample here from George, and if the chairman would want to take a straw poll or something of the council,
I
think this is something that we should do.
But the New Jersey State Legislature is actually taking up this cause right now, and I think it's well within their rights to handle this. We've been appointed to do what we're supposed to do, and we're not an activist agency or a group, so I don't see us. If it's being worked on now, our resolution isn't one for another state agency.
It's been working on for years. I mean, yeah. It's. I think
I agree. We could use the report when it's released. I agree. But
we should, as we've done in the past, send a resolution to the governor, DEP. On this, as we've done in other cases.
What's wrong with lending our voice to them once it's released?
I'll decide whether to put it on the agenda next week.
Can we take a straw poll, suggested by Charles?
I said okay.
It doesn't matter if the majority of the council would like to have that.
That would be correct.
Carl, you live in the county, yes. We'll do it on the field level for sure.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
I'm going to propose a resolution for the next meeting that one of these meetings in accordance with Robert's rules, and I will be bringing that forward, so you should know about it.
Great.
I'll be presenting a resolution to that effect.
Sure. Any other agenda items? Seeing none, now I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.